That weight is more than what Flavio Baccanini weighs, our other guest professional on the show, and Kevin's doing it for repetitions. Good job, Kevin.
Yeah. Every drop, every ounce, every piece of energy within me.
The experience of being much stronger than everybody else, I think that's an unbelievable experience. You feel richer. You feel that sooner or later that you can do anything.
This is Yoked, everybody. You know what? I was an ex-personal trainer who turned into a fat ass after getting married. But I'm here to say the era of fatassery is over. It's time to get yoked. What say you? What we're going to be doing is we're going to be chiseling a hardened physique using rudimentary instruments. I'm in the home gym downstairs in the basement. No sophisticated equipment, all stuff I bought cheaply on Amazon. We're putting stuff together and we're using the most basic instruments. No steroids, no performance enhancing drugs. I don't even take a pre-workout. I get in there at 5 in the morning and put the work in. It's time to make the donuts. All right, guys, if you have any thoughts throughout any of this podcast, you just can call in our voicemail line. The number is 917-267-8590. And let's begin. So if you noticed or didn't notice, you probably didn't notice, I actually woke up on Wednesday at 5 a.m. in the morning, took some video of outside, the snow and stuff. There's only one guy eating breakfast across the way. I could see him through the window. And I said to myself, I can't do it. I cannot do this. I have a problem because I didn't sleep. 2 hours was the only amount of sleep I got that night. It was horrendous. It was terrible. So I ended up looking at my refrigerator and just showing you what it's in my refrigerator here. And just, I film myself putting together my lunch for the day and what I eat for breakfast. So you'll see that in a minute. But there was no way I was working out. 2 hours of sleep. You should not work out when you have not slept. Why? Because your hormones are produced during sleep. Hormones are what you need to build muscle. They are what help you expand the fascia of your muscles when you train through hypertrophy. So if you don't have any of that, and plus you're more at risk of injury if you're tired, especially if you're lifting heavy weights. So I had to take the day off. So anyway, this is what I made for lunch on Wednesday. I had some leftover turkey. I like the bread there, Dave's awesome bread, something like that. Good stuff. I weighed the turkey just to see how much, how many grams of turkey I had there, so I can kind of put that in my calories. There's my little calorie. And here's my breakfast. I've been eating this keto cereal. Not that I'm on keto. To be honest with you, I've tried keto before. I hate keto. My body does not do well on keto. I need the carbs. My body likes the carbs. Well, everyone's body likes carbs. Well, you know what? If you're either going to use carbs to run your body or you're going to use fats to run your body. And I'd rather use carbs. Not only is it cheaper, but it seems to fuel my sex drive better. And there's a whole host of benefits, especially for me. I think it's genetic partly, whether someone does better with keto or not. So I ended up just, having my breakfast. The cat's over there having his little breakfast and watching the sunrise. And it was a nice little time just staring into space. You can't really, it's hard to think when you only get 2 hours of sleep. But I was just thinking, I don't know, thinking of nothing, just taking in the sunrise there through the window and relaxing. You know, speaking of my lack of sleep, I feel like I finally cracked the code as to why I'm having trouble sleeping. I think it has to do with the fact that I'm on a low carb. Not that I do it, but, you know, purposely, but just over the years, I've gotten in the habit of just eating fewer carbs. You know, I got married. My wife doesn't really like pasta. So I used to eat pasta all the time. I used to love carby foods, high carb, starchy carbs, foods. And when I got married, my wife didn't like that stuff. So I kind of like stopped eating it. Because you typically eat what your wife eats, or you kind of like agree on what you want to eat together. And after that happened, like, it really affected me in a negative way, I think. So, I mean, I got in the habit of not eating a lot of carbs. So I think that's part of why. So now I'm upping my carbs. So I'll let you know how that goes. So I ended up buying some weights from this guy down the road. And he says he's moving to Georgia. So he bought these weights used off someone else. He's like, I might as well sell them before I leave. I'm not going to bring them with me. I'll just buy new weights once I get to Georgia. So I was like, that's smart. You know, good luck. Thank you. I appreciate it. I bought them for $1.20. Two 45-pound plates. I like the Yorks because I do have the Yorks. And the others are also Yorks. 5-pound plates, 4 of them, and 2 2.5-pound plates. These are all Olympic. I didn't have the Olympic sizes, so I needed to buy some. So I said, I might as well just do this now because I'm going to be upping my weight, because as time goes on, that's what I mean to do. I want to build muscle. I want to increase my strength. So I need these weights here. So I might paint this one silver like the other York I have. I don't know if I like the black with the white lettering, but whatever. I see it as like almost a collector's item. I figured, you know, the York plates are so cool because, you know, the first weightlifting plates, I think, were from York, PA. So I'm warming up here. Warming up. This is now not Wednesday, but Friday. So I got the extra sleep. I felt a little bit more, I don't know, energetic on Friday morning at 5 a.m. Still trying to wake up. And here I got the extra plates now, right? So what I'm doing here is I'm doing some deadlifts. Adding 15 pounds altogether to the bar, using the 5-pound plates and 2.5-pound plates. You know, I figured I'd incrementally increase the weight. I could, you know, to be honest with you, I can deadlift 225 and probably 250 even right now. But I prefer to do safely. I prefer to be, you know, make sure I'm doing everything as safe as possible. I don't want to unnecessarily, like, put myself at risk. So I'm big on that. I don't like to take unnecessary risks just to be stupid. I'm here in my own basement by myself and 5 o'clock in the morning, and I don't need to be taking those kind of risks. But it was good because I felt the extra weight. You know, think about it, 30 pounds, put 15 on each side. You feel an extra 30 pounds on the bar, right? So my next increase will be going to like 225, I think, altogether. So this was a little in between that I needed in order to get to my next weight increase. So I did a couple of sets here. So my thinking here was Friday morning, I missed my workout on Wednesday because I didn't sleep. I might as well try to get a bunch of different muscle groups as much as I can and kind of spread it out a little bit. So I said, normally on Fridays I do hamstrings, back, and biceps, but you know what? I skipped Wednesday's workout, which is when I normally do shoulders, and I normally do quads and back. Could not do quads. I figured I'd pick one leg muscle, so I picked the hamstrings. So I picked the hamstrings and lower chain, and so I said, I'm going to do deadlifts. Plus, I love that. I actually feel so good when I do deadlifts. I really love deadlifts. So I'm going to do quads next Wednesday. So I decided to go with hamstrings, back, and then I went to shoulders. All right, so shoulders was a Wednesday exercise. I moved to Friday. Then I went to biceps. So I added shoulders in there. So, and then what did I do? You know, Friday morning, limited time, Got to get to work, so like I'm not thinking about that initially, but the time really does go, morning time somehow just goes really quickly. So I think I did 4 sets here of this. What is that? 185 plus 30, 210. So this is 210. And I got, I think, decent amount of reps here. Sometimes I take a break, like you see me doing here, and then get a few more reps, right? So I'm kind of pace around, trying to get my catch my breath a little bit, and then do a little bit more. And I'm wearing shoes now because it's starting to get cold in the basement, so my feet get cold. So now I got a few more reps. Let's see how many. 1, 2. I think I got one more on me. I either did 3 or 5. I can't remember. There, I just did 3. And then I went to bent over rows, which I haven't done in a while. Now, for bent over rows, I did the 45, so it was 135, and I added the 15 on each side. So it was 165. So I wanted to see, because these extra plates that I have now allow me to incrementally increase the weight without going overboard. So I don't want to put another 45-pound plate on and make such a big jump. You want to make a smaller jump, you know. And some people who are even more cautious than me, they would just put 5-pound plates on each side. And then the following week, they put the 10-pound plates on each side. So they would go even slower. But here, I have somewhat of an idea of what I can do and how much I can push myself. My CNS is a little bit stronger, my central nervous system. So I'm just doing these bent over rows, and I'm just able to get a little bit more. And now get my shoulders warmed up. Here's the small circles, larger circles, arm circles to warm up that shoulder capsule, rotator cuff muscle. Ballistic stretching, and also just static stretching. Just a little bit. You're not really, don't do too much static stretching, but just a little bit to get some blood in there. So here, I wanted to use the smaller weights to increase my weight on the military press too. So I did. I put some extra weight on there, so it was not just the 50 plus the 45. So it's not just 95 here. I think it's might even be 110, maybe 125, something like that. Extra 30 pounds. So on this one, what you do is you make sure that the bar, as you bring it down, as close to your face as possible. I usually stop at chin level and I press it back up, really focusing on your mind to muscle connection in your front and lateral deltoid. So I did a couple sets of this. So I'm liking the fact that I'm able to lift more, even though I'm on a deficit. Now, you know what? I experimented with going up to 2,400 calories, and I noticed that I was putting on weight, and then I went back down to my usual 2,000 calories a day, and I started dropping again. So you experiment all the time trying to figure out what that number is so you can make sure you're in a deficit at all times. At least for me right now, I want to be in a deficit. So after that, I want to do one quick kind of back movement right here to get my rear deltoids in. This is called, I believe, it's a reverse wide grip pull-up from the ground. So you're kind of facing towards the ceiling, and you're gripping the bar from underneath the bar, and you're pulling upwards. And that actually does get your rear deltoid pretty well. So I haven't been huge on this movement per se, but it was pretty good. So I did that movement, and I switched over to another deltoid, rear deltoid movement, because I want to focus on my rear delts to get the added width there. And what this is, it's a lateral raise, a seated lateral raise tilted forward. And it's interesting because when you tilt your torso forward, it's not so apparent from the video here, of what this movement looks like. But when you tilt your torso forward, you actually are able to isolate your rear delt more. So I like that. And I'm now a big fan of this movement. I liked it. As long as you stay tilted forward, seated, but tilted forward with your torso, kind of almost put your head down, almost kind of. And it really does get the rear delt. And these are just, you know, 20-pound dumbbells, 10 pounds on each side. So I did a couple sets of that. So far hamstrings, back, and shoulders so far. Now I decided to finish it off, I believe after this set here, with some biceps here on the cheek curls again. I tried to say, you know what, let me lift the 95 again, but last time I did it, I only got like 2 or 3 reps. So I said, you know what, I forgot that I got so many low reps. Let me just change out the weight. So I did, and I put on those small Olympic plates that I bought. So now I have altogether here 75 pounds on this, which doesn't sound like a lot, and it's not, but that's where I'm at. You know, this is no shame in this game here, because I need to challenge my muscles. I'm not challenging someone else's muscles because it's a different ball game, but challenging my muscles. So I have to use the appropriate weight. And the beauty of this was I got really good burns. I felt really good burns on this one. I really do like curling the Olympic bar as opposed to like an easy bar. As long as you keep your back straight, you don't cheat too much. But the thing is, with these are technically cheat curls, but I'm keeping my back straight. I'm not cheating too much. Usually the purpose of the cheat curl is to, towards the end of the set, when you're really struggling, you cheat a little bit, not crazy, because you don't want to hurt yourself with your, you know, swinging action of your back a little bit. You can kind of cheat a little bit just to get the extra rep or two, but I wouldn't go more than that. 75 pounds. I did that a few times here. That's what I'm looking like right now. I've noticed my lats are popping out a little bit more. Muscles are popping out a little bit more. But again, this is a slow process. I mean, you can definitely see that my stomach is still there. Still have probably like 30% body fat, I would say. Maybe 25 if I'm lucky. Somewhere between there as of right now. But again, this is my third week of training. And there's my back shot. So it's happening. It's happening, everybody. It's starting to come back. It's starting to get big. You see my love handles there, but still, that's not bad, right? For 3 weeks. So putting the muscle on and feels good. Definitely feels good. I just wanted to get into some news relating to COVID. These athletes, these soccer players. I used to play soccer, man. I miss soccer. I loved every minute of playing soccer when I was in high school. By the time I got to college, I wasn't able to get on to the college soccer team because the college soccer team was way better than me. Way better. Way better. And I didn't make the team. So I ended up joining a fraternity and joined the washed up athletes of my day and lived the fraternity life for a little while. But, you know, this story is really, I feel really upset and angered by this story that's being ignored. And not only is it, I just wanted to bring this to your attention because not only is it being ignored, it's actually being twisted. The story is being massaged. It's being twisted. These media handlers, these people who are responsible for telling us the truth, for reporting the news, they have twisted this story. Now, I'm going to prove it to you right now. Back in November, this story was first reported on America's Frontline Doctors. It's also been guest posted in on other sites, but the title is, and you can find this on Google even right now, "Fivefold Increase in Sudden Cardiac Deaths of FIFA Players in 2021. This was first posted here on November 15th. Okay. I'll just read a little bit of it to you, but basically, breaking news, 500% increase in deaths of FIFA players in 2021. Not 24 athletes, not 30, nor 75. Since December, 183 professional athletes and coaches have suddenly collapsed. 108 of them died. According to the literature, the phenomenon of collapsing athlete breakdown for reasons unrelated to injury is rare. So what is causing this sudden epidemic? You have a vast majority are 17 to 40 years old. So this is a demographic that historically has never had any heart problems. Think about it. How often do you hear of a 17 or 20-year-old coming down with a heart problem like myocarditis? Only 21 or older, etc. 23 are teenagers. Come on, teenagers. When you were a teenager, did you have any heart problems? So clearly, something that has been going on right now has been affecting the health of these young people. In over 80 of the cases, such as football stars Sergio Aguero and Christian Eriksen, the athletes collapsed while playing, racing, or training, or immediately after. In most cases, it has been reported that the cause of the collapse is heart-related, including myocarditis, pericarditis, heart attacks, or cardiac arrest. The second cause reported is clotting events. We emphasize that the list we have is even longer, but for the sake of caution, dozens of cases were removed from it in which we did not have full details, so that only the cases that were reported in detail were included. So the number which they reported initially as 183 is probably way higher. Like it says here, they don't have the details on every single one, so they can't add it to the list. In addition, cases were removed in which evidence of previous risk factors was mentioned, such as cardiac disease or diabetes. So those players who had pre-existing conditions like diabetes or anything like that, those were removed from the list. All right. Dr. Josh Gutsow, senior lecturer in the Department of Sociology and Anthropology in the Institute of Criminology at Hebrew University, analyzed the data. An article published in the British Medical Journal shows that the risk of severe cardiac disease is 1 in 50,000, with a range from 1 in 30,000 to 1 in 80,000, he explains. According to the FIFA data, in 2000, there were 242 athletes registered in the association, and in 2006, there were 265 athletes registered. Look at this graph here. It says it all. Five times more than the average, the annual average. This figure is statistically significant. So this information got out there. It went viral back in November during Thanksgiving, and what the media did was they almost crapped their pants. So what they did, because the media is propped up by Big Pharma, and they protect Big Pharma. They run interference for Big Pharma. So what they do is they create this narrative that this is not happening, or they ignore it. See, what they've done here, they stopped ignoring it. Now what they've done is they've tried to flip it. So here's the thing. If you go down, right, this is the end of the article here, right? Stevens does quick and dirty statistical analysis, but good enough for a sanity check of this figure is found to be statistically significant. So this is just common sense. You don't need all the scientific numbers and the jargon. The reality is there's no way that this is normal. Secondly, we know that a lot of these athletes are required to take vaccines, COVID vaccines. And we also know there was a German scientist or German professor or one of these. He was in the middle of making a video. He was in a live stream. And when the authorities burst in on him, and this is all on video, I wish I could pull up the video. I'm going to have to see if I can find it next time, but you can find it. And the guy was killed. He was shot. And he was in the middle of explaining that these vaccines have graphene in them. Graphene is a metal. And the graphene, what happens is, if you look under the microscope, it has these little sharp, it almost looks sharp pieces of metal in them. And what happens is, for the people who are very active and they're running a lot, like such, like a game like soccer, which I used to play, the wings would be the most running. Think about it, the whole game, running from one end of the field to the other constantly with no breaks. So a game like soccer, which is a lot of running and a lot of the heart bump pumping. So what happens is this graphene oxide starts to damage the interior walls of these blood vessels and capillaries. And this is what causes the myocarditis. This is what causes the sudden cardiac arrest. This is what causes all of this stuff. And this German scientist was explaining all of it. And that's when they burst in on him and they arrested. They shot him and he's dead. So you need to look that up. You know, there's so much news coming out. It's like we report this or someone reports it or it's reported on alternative news. And then no one hears about it again because we forget about it because there's the next thing. We're on to the next thing. But this is important. You know, we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that this happened. And so what they've done now is this. Take a look. You go to Google. First thing that's on Google. Google runs interference too. They're owned by China. China's involved in the Wuhan lab of creating the virus. So there's all these entities trying to cover their ass. They're trying to prevent people from learning the truth. So Reuters says, fact check, FIFA unaware of rise in players having cardiac arrest or cardiac issues or conditions. Fact check. So they're trying to say that this is not happening. But then they changed their tune. Let's look at this. Yahoo News, Canada's Alphonso Davies to miss World Cup qualifier with, quote, slight myocarditis after COVID infection. They are changing the story. They're now saying, so it's obvious, and you know, that the vaccines are doing this. It's totally obvious. Viruses do not do this. A virus won't cause you permanent cardiac damage to your heart. No, never. Okay? They're trying to say that the COVID virus is causing this, when the truth is, it's the vaccine that's causing this, right? Why do you think it is that these companies, these pharmaceutical companies, are immune from people suing them? They're immune from any type of, liability from someone getting sick or dying or having some side effect from having taken the vaccine. You can look that up as well. You know, there's so many questions that need to be asked that people aren't asking. There's too many phonies in the media. There's too many phonies in our elected government. And people are protecting these pharmaceutical companies because they're becoming filthy rich off of doing this. So these are traitors. These are traitors to the United States and to the people, to regular everyday people. Not only here in this country, but all over the world, this is happening. It's a terrible tragedy. We need a Nuremberg 2 to put these people, to bring them to justice. Let's say it that way. Team Canada will be without its biggest star for the final round of World Cup qualifiers. Alphonso Davies, who suffered a slight myocarditis after contracting COVID-19, won't play in Canada's three upcoming games, including a marquee matchup against the United States on January 30th, the team announced on Friday. He will also miss matches against Honduras and El Salvador, respectively. The myocarditis isn't too dramatic based on the ultrasound, but more simply signs of an inflammation. Nevertheless, it needs to heal. That will no doubt take some time. Davies tested positive for COVID-19. Along with 8 other teammates earlier in January when Bundesliga returned from its holiday break. Following his isolation period, the left back returned to Bayern's training facilities on Thursday when the team's post-COVID medical checks revealed his heart inflammation. Now, here's the thing. They don't want to say the fact he's most likely, I'm not going to say it 100% because I'm not even sure myself, but I'm pretty sure that for you to be able to play soccer in these leagues, in these you know, club teams in Europe, Europe is worse than the United States with the stupid mandates with the vaccines. So I'm pretty sure he's vaccinated. But it's funny how they're not saying whether. See, the thing is this: the first question on everyone's mind is he vaccinated or not? That's the first question on everybody's mind. Why is this writer? Why is this journalist not talking about that? Instead, she writes in the headline after COVID infection, and she's doing it with the knowledge that there's a double meaning here. They're saying that he came down with this slight myocarditis after getting infected with COVID, but what they're not saying is whether he was vaccinated or not. Because if he was vaccinated and then he got COVID, which a lot of people are, a lot of people who've gotten vaccinated definitely have gotten COVID again. So it's not a vaccine, doesn't protect you from getting the virus. But the point is that they don't want to say that the vaccine is what caused this. They would rather say it was the virus that's what caused this. Do you get what I'm saying? And here's the thing. You have to understand what a journalist does when they're writing a headline. Every word is contributing to the meaning of what's being expressed here. Every word is purposely put in this specific order to convey a very, very specific meaning. Even the subtle connotations of what's being expressed here are careful planning that's being put into this. So she knows exactly what she's doing. She knows that the most average person is going to read the headline and say, you know what? Oh, he got COVID infection. So it was the COVID infection, meaning the virus, that's what caused his slight myocarditis. It wasn't anything having to do with the vaccine. You know, if she was being truthful, what she would say is that, sorry, I said Europe before, this is Canada. But Canada is kind of like Europe, so just as liberal with the mandates and whatnot. So I'm pretty sure that these Canadians are being mandated to take the vaccine if they're playing on a sports league like this. But the point I'm making here is that they know exactly what they're doing. If she was being honest, she would have said, Canada's Alphonso Davies to miss World Cup qualifier with slight myocarditis after a COVID infection. But it would say Canada's vaccinated, or they would say vaccinated Alphonso Davies to miss World Cup qualifier. Forget what I'm saying. They would make sure that you as a reader understood that this soccer player was vaccinated. They would say vaccinated or unvaccinated if he's not vaccinated. Get what I'm saying? But here's the thing. This is what's even more interesting. If he was unvaccinated, right? And look what they did to that tennis player in Australia. Look what kind of... He can't even play, and he missed the Australian Open. This guy would have beat everybody. He would have destroyed their whole narrative. Look what they've done to him because he's unvaccinated. They won't even let him play. So chances are he was required to get the vaccine. That's what they're not telling you here. Okay? If he was unvaccinated and they somehow allowed him to play, okay? What I'm saying is they would have made that in the headline. That information would have made it to the headline. The headline would have said, unvaccinated Alphonso Davies to miss World Cup qualifier. Get what I'm saying? Because they have a bent, they have a bent to try to convince the reader that unvaccinated people are the ones who are coming down with these conditions, these side effects, these whatever. So the fact that she didn't put that in the headline shows you that he was vaccinated. And to be honest with you, it should be if it's not in the lead of the story, it should be within the first two paragraphs or so, which it's not. So this is misleading the reader here. Now, if you don't believe me, you think I'm being, you know, a little bit over the top here with this, take a look. I used to write stuff like this for different websites. Why are so many footballers collapsing? There has been, this is from Daily Mail Online. There has been a worrying spike in cardiac arrests and stars retiring with heart-related issues. But leading sports cardiologists insist it is not to do with COVID vaccine. There you go, see? There's an agenda not to lay any of this at the feet of the COVID vaccine. The COVID vaccine, even though it's untested, even though there's no research behind this vaccine, even though it was rolled out hastily and with little preparation, and we really don't know much too much about it. It's got this experimental mRNA technology in the vaccine. All this stuff, we have no idea what the effect of this is going to be. I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and he was like, we were talking about, you know, are you vaccinated? Did you get the vaccine? I was like, no, I'm not vaccinated. Are you? He goes, no, I'm not getting vaccinated. He goes, I have a friend who works at Pfizer. And he goes, he said he would never get the vaccine because they're doing this mass trial. It's just a mass trial. So in other words, you, my friend, if you got the vaccine, you're the one who is part of this, you know, trial right now that they're running, because they really don't know what the effect of it's going to be. Yes, they pay off media outlets to say, oh yeah, it's safe, everything's fine, you know, it has nothing to do with the COVID vaccine. Are you kidding? Why would it have anything to do with the COVID vaccine? You know, they pay off all these people to say these things, but that doesn't mean anything. You know, they're running interference, right? That's why you turn on the TV, you watch the news, commercials come on. What's the first ad that you see? Most of the time, it's a big pharma ad for some new drug, right? So who do you think is paying for these media outlets to exist? It's big pharma. You can't expect to hear truth or anything critical of these pharmaceutical companies, especially not the vaccine. Forget about it. They're making a killing with the vaccine. You're not going to hear any truth about it on mainstream news channels. Are you kidding? You got to go to alternative news, alternative media. That's what always gets me. You know, I never understood why people don't understand that simple fact. It's really about the money, and people are not going to do anything that's going to come into cause them to lose out on making a certain amount of money, especially if you have no scruples or morality or anything like that. 9 years separated Mark Vivian's foe's death from a heart attack on pitch in Lyon, blah, blah, blah. This is a long article. But the headline, note the headline. They don't want to blame the vaccine. Here it says, the worrying spate of heart-related episodes in football has raised some concerns over links with COVID and the vaccination program to prevent it. However, United issued a statement this week saying that Lindelof's condition is not connected to a COVID outbreak at the club. With Wyke's consent, Wigan also clarified that the player had not been vaccinated before his heart attack. Okay. They're saying that this person had not been vaccinated. That's what I was trying to say before. I'm sure if that Canadian player was unvaccinated, it would have made the top 30% of the news story somewhere in the headline, the lead, or the top three paragraphs or so. Right, so this person was supposedly not vaccinated. So what's going on? It says here, cardiologist Sanjay Sharma works with the FA as well as a number of Premier League clubs, is well placed to answer the question. Quote, we've had this blitz in 2021, said Professor Sharma, who is head of research, professor of sports cardiology for St. George's University in London. St. George. I can see where you're coming from. It's worrying that there's suddenly a whole load of young men who are supposed to epitomize the healthier segment of our society suddenly crashing with cardiac problems. Yes, it is. It's very concerning and worrying. Quote, is there an issue? Are these people being tested properly? Is the game doing it? Is there something? No, the game's not doing it. They play the game for years and years. Is there something in the air to cause an increase? No, there's nothing in the air. I'm keeping an open mind. My feeling is that this is... Are you kidding me? He's trying to think of every other reason other than the stupid vaccine, which is so obvious that it's the vaccine. My little cousin, who's 10 years old or whatever, my little nephew, could tell you that it's the vaccine. And this guy's saying, is it something in the air? Is it something that maybe it's the game that's doing it? Yeah, it's the game. Are these people being tested properly? What's this testing have to do with it anyway? My feeling is that this is probably a statistical cluster rather than something on the rise. He says here, statistical cluster. What does that mean? See, he's just throwing jargon at you, hoping that it'll kind of like almost throwing sand in your eyes to distract you or blind you from what you're clearly seeing with your own eyes. Right? All these soccer players, what could it be? What could it be? Is it the air? Is that what it's causing this? Maybe it's the fact that they're playing the game. You know, is it the game? It doesn't make any sense. So this guy, obviously, he's somehow, to me, I can't understand how he's not a shill. How can someone not see what's so obvious to the regular person who's watching this? He says everyone is jumping to the conclusion that it is COVID-related, or even worse, that vaccine-related myocarditis may be responsible for this spate of cardiac issues that we are seeing in football players. See, here's what they're doing. I told you, they're trying to twist this. Clearly, it's the vaccine, but what they're doing is they're saying it's caused by the virus. He says it's that vaccine-related myocarditis that we're seeing in football players. It's COVID-related. So they're saying it's COVID-related. Is it COVID-related? You know, I can tell you how that Erickson's arrest has nothing to do with COVID or the vaccine, nor was Aguero's cardiac scare, nor were flex problems or Wykes. Obviously, first of all, where's your proof? Where's your evidence? He just said, well, these four guys, there's nothing to do with the COVID vaccine or nothing to do with the COVID or at all. You know, where's his evidence? Obviously, we have looked after some of these players in the past through the football screening program. Aguero played in our country for some long time and only just moved to Spain, so you have a good idea of what their tests look like prior to this happening. As someone who has knowledge of what actually happened to some of these people and the diseases that affected them, I can tell you I don't think it was football related, just bad luck. You don't think? Are you supposed to be a medical professional? You don't think? I don't think it's having to do with anything that's football related, just bad luck. It's just this year we have had a few of these events. Again, this doesn't make sense. He's just throwing sand in your eye. He's kicking sand in your eye. Professor Sharma believes the increase may be due to the game speeding up significantly since Foe died in 2003 and Mamba collapsed in 2012. Maybe down to the game speeding up? What does that mean? The game of soccer is played at the same pace no matter what. It's a game of soccer. Game speeding up. What in the world are you talking about? There may be links, he says, to the fact that Premier League players have not had enough rest because they kept on training through lockdown before Project Restart last year, or those in the lower divisions returning after furlough. So he's saying maybe they're out of shape because they weren't playing or before during COVID. Is that what he's saying? No, that's not what happens. If you're out of shape, right, and you're playing in a game where you're not really in shape and you're not really supposed to be on the field because you need people who are in shape should be on the field, you get subbed out or you take a break or you need to catch your breath or whatever. You probably are winded. You don't have cardiac arrest. Not these guys. These guys are the most fit guys on the planet. Soccer players are some of the most fit people on the planet. They don't just come down with myocarditis or cardiac arrest. It doesn't make sense. He cites the growth of the internet and social media and spreading stories from foreign leagues faster than they did in the past. So he's blaming social media. He's blaming everything except for the obvious thing that it is, which is the vaccine. Hello. I don't know. It's just crazy to me. He added, Erickson's well-published and sudden cardiac arrest, the most high profile I've witnessed, certainly opened up the eyes of the world to sudden cardiac arrest in the sport. I don't remember this ever happening, ever. This just didn't happen. Like years ago, you would never hear of a soccer player collapsing on the field, clutching his chest, and you know, coming down with myocarditis, you just, or dying, which is a lot of these guys are dying from sudden cardiac arrest. So I've never heard of this happening before. He's acting like I don't know. He's acting like this is, you know, understandable somehow, or there's some other explanation for it. He says, then we had another when a Guerrero had a cardiac scare during a televised game. I would consider him in the top 10 best football players in the world. When they are big names, people start thinking the problem's getting worse. Since the FAA's cardiac screening program began in 1997, there have been 8 deaths as a result of sudden cardiac arrest. Now there's 183 at least, according to the article I showed you before. Players are checked every 2 years, blah, blah, blah. However, it kills 1 in 6 people. I don't know if I can read more of this because this guy's saying a lot of words and that mean nothing. You don't hear about it, except for, was it a cardiologist, blah, blah, blah. When it happens to someone high profile, captures the attention. Yeah, well, you said that already. That's the end of the article? What's the last thing he said? After the Ericsson event, the phone was ringing off the hook. The same thing happened when Mumba arrested in 2012. There's a hysterical reaction when something like this happens. So what's clearly not being honest with the reader is that this has happened in 2021 with this fivefold increase. And they're interviewing a doctor who's bringing up stuff that happened 10, 15 years ago. Why is he talking about things that are happened 10, 15 years ago? And if you look at his words, nothing makes sense. The only thing that the headline is telling you is that it's definitely not the COVID vaccine. So this is an example of propaganda. Now, here's what's really upsetting is that if you go to NCBI, right, which is supposed to be scientific, which is supposed to be about, you know, real facts and real information. Take a look at this one. Review of COVID-19, myocarditis in competitive athletes, legitimate concern or fake news. So they're saying here in the abstract, they're saying, we aim to review the pathophysiology and diagnosis of viral myocarditis, discuss the heterogeneity regarding the incidence of COVID myocarditis among athletes, and summarize the current expert recommendations for RTP. Goal is to provide guidance for practitioners, etc. Viral myocarditis, that's what you should focus in on right here. This is what I see happening. They're trying to say that these cases, because they know that they can't avoid the fact that most people are seeing that these athletes are just passing out, they're clutching their chest, coming down with myocarditis, or even worse, cardiac arrest and dying. They know they can't ignore that. They know most people see that. It's alarming. They have to do something to kind of change the narrative that it's having to do with the COVID vaccine, right? You saw that in the last headline. They know people are catching on to what's going on. They know it's got to be related to the COVID vaccine. They know it has to be. Most people who have common sense know it has to be. But so they're trying to change that narrative. What are they doing? They're saying it's a viral myocarditis. We aim to review the pathophysiology and diagnosis of viral myocarditis. So basically they're saying that this is something that happens as a result of getting COVID. Get what I'm saying? Again, look at the title here. COVID-19 myocarditis. They're trying to say it's the virus that's doing it. And some people would say, you know what? This is a scientific study. There's no way that any money or political influence was involved in the making of this research study. Don't be naive. They pay for research studies all the time. They do it all the time. Think about like back in the day with cigarette companies, right? The cigarette's clearly bad for you, right? Clearly bad for you. But what they did then was these cigarette companies would pay people off, just like they're doing here, pharmaceutical companies paying people off. They paid people off to say that cigarettes were not having these side effects, or they were not causing these issues. Why? It's just about the money. It's all about the money. So wake up. If this is new information to you, please share it. This stuff has to get out. These people need to pay for what they're doing. They are causing harm. They're causing needless death. This is visited upon all the young people who are now being forced to take the vaccine. God knows what's going to happen to them when they get older, or what if they have some type of side effect in a year from now or 2 years from now. It's not going to be blamed on the vaccine, but the cause of it is going to be the vaccine and other things that are related to the vaccine. I think it's an accumulative effect too, because that's why they're pushing the boosters. They know that the vaccine itself is bad, but they know that they'll be able to affect people more greatly if they give them a second vaccine and then give them a booster shot. So it's cumulative. They're trying to soft kill you. That's what they're trying to do. In my opinion, this is my opinion. I'm not a doctor. Not a doctor. I can't believe I actually wanted to be a doctor at one point in my life. Now I look back on it and I thank God that I never became a doctor. I have no respect for doctors after this. I don't see how they come back from this. They're not going to regain the trust that they've broken. A lot of practices will go out of business, in my view. They're going to go out of business. People are going to start going to chiropractors, alternative medical practitioners, people like that. People are going to start taking a more proactive approach to their health, getting a personal trainer, hiring a nutritionist. That's what they're going to do with their money. Going to a doctor is becoming a thing of the past. All this crap that's happening now is a desperate attempt to keep people in the dark and keep people handcuffed to the medical establishment. That's what I see. You know what I mean? But again, if you disagree, let me know. What are your thoughts? 917-267-8590. I will play your voicemail on this podcast and I will respond to it. We can have an interview or have you on the podcast and we'll talk about it. More than welcome. But, you know, I just felt like this is something that needs to be discussed. It's horrible. It's horrible. You know what disgusts me too? What disgusts me is that YouTube is full of fitness, quote, influencers and fitness YouTubers, personalities. And a lot of these guys know what they're talking about. They've been in the game for a long time. They give good advice, diet advice, nutrition advice. How should you train your shoulders? How should you train your chest? Blah, blah, blah. But what they don't talk about is what's happening today with COVID and, you know, trying to warn people. They have big platforms. You know that? They have millions of subscribers. These are people who clearly started their channel because they want to help people. They want to help people lose weight, build muscle, the whole nine yards, right? So why is it that they don't warn people about the dangers of taking this vaccine? They don't warn people about all these terrible things that are happening relating to these authorities pushing the vaccine mandates on us, threatening our jobs, blah, blah, blah. Why don't they talk about it? Well, I'll tell you, the reason why they don't talk about it is because they're afraid of losing money. It all comes back down to, it comes down to money all the time. They're afraid of losing money. Because they know that if they started talking about that stuff, their YouTube channels would be deleted, removed, censored. They have money coming in from YouTube, from having built up their channels from 10 years ago in some cases, 15 years ago. I'm not going to name names, but you know who I'm talking about. They would lose out on all of their revenue because they would immediately be censored, and they know it. That's why they don't talk about it. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sick? You know, and I don't blame them because a lot of them rely on that money. But at the same time, my God, like in order to be genuinely an advocate for health and health freedom and like someone who wants people to take a more proactive approach to their health. If you're that advocate, if you're that type of person, which they clearly say that they are, right? They would say something about it. They would warn people. They have millions of subscribers. They would say something about it. And that's what upsets me. So, whatever. What can you do? Anyways, have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday with another chest workout. We'll talk about some other stuff and hang out a little bit. All right, guys, take care.